Gomarge over Rustavelli Avenue. This is tobealpot.com coming to you from our studios high atop Prospero's Books and Cafe. Today is Thursday, the 25th of October, 2012. On this date, in 1415, the Battle of Agincourt, in which English longbows handed to the French. In 1774, the First Continental Congress sends a very polite petition to King George III about the Intolerable Acts, which is ignored, and so we won the war. In 1854, the Battle of Balaclava during the Crimean War, which took place appropriately on the Crimean Peninsula, charged the Light Brigade, which was supposedly very heroic, seemed kind of dumb to me. In 1917, the capture of the Winter Palace in St. Petersburg. 1940, Benjamin O. Davis Sr. is named the first African-American general in the U.S. Army. In 1944, Japan's first kamikaze attack. 1962, Adlai Stevenson shows photos in the U.N. proving Soviet missiles are installed in Cuba. In 2004, Fidel Castro, still around, announces that transactions using American dollars will be banned. Today is the birthday of the Big Bopper, Pablo Picasso.
Who's the Big Bopper?
Hello, baby. You don't know the Big Bopper? Right?
No, he died in the plane crash
with what's his name from Lubbock? Buddy Holiday. He's an important rock and roll figure in the early days. And in fact, Dion of Dion and the Belmonts didn't get on that plane. He would have died, too. Pablo Picasso, he's a painter. From Europe.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Tila Tequila is, I don't know, she's just this hot little trash mouth singer from Vietnam or something. Zadie Smith, very hip British writer. Minnie Pearl is 100 years old today. She's a famous, I don't know, person that was like on the Lawrence Welk show. I don't know. She was a entertainer.
Okay.
Avtandil Varazi, Georgian painter, was born on this day in 1926. Surgeon Gheorghe Kundanze was born in 1906. This week's Kvitis Polythra and Georgian Journal column is about beneficial owners. There are lots of shell companies in Georgia, international and domestic. And during this transition period, would it be a good time to get rid of them and just say that all registered companies, it needs to be clear and public who the individual owners are. There's also my Georgian Journal article from this past week. There's an article by this guy named Ruchadze, very sarcastically talking about the Vision article I wrote last week. Read it. It's a little incomprehensible, but hysterically funny. He's very mean to me, but anyway, you should check it out. So, it's all about the parliament and the government. The parliament today, just a couple hours ago, approved the new government with a vote of 88 to 54. Now Prime Minister Bidzina Ivanishvili presented the program of the government entitled For a Strong Democratic and United Georgia prior to the voting of the nominated minister post. BI emphasized the need for depoliticizing law enforcement structures, the importance of educational system, prosecutor's office development, and reinforcing democratic institutions. He also discussed reforms in the social sector, including universal health insurance policy, healthcare system, assistance to the development of agriculture, freedom of the media, and the judiciary, all of which were stated as priorities of the new government. On October 24th, the new parliament building in Kutaisi, Misha addressed the inaugural session of parliament and called on the majority to work together with him, especially on Georgia's Euro-Atlantic integration. Parliament confirmed the credentials of all of its 150 members, and Datu Supashvili, chairman of the Republican Party, was elected parliamentary speaker. Yesterday, BI met with parliamentary minority and with the parliamentary minority and fielded questions about his planned policies. He was heavily criticized by the UNM over his unrealistic plans, as well as the disparity between Georgia's Dreams campaign promises and Bidzina's current proposals. UNM's Gogi Ochiaouri, the oldest sitting member of parliament, accused Bidzina of keeping his pre-election rhetoric of trying to discredit the outgoing government. Bidzina said that he had given up the construction of gigantic hydropower plants and will focus on medium and smaller ones. He also promised natural gas would be installed in every family's house. UNM candidates questioned his pension, healthcare, and agricultural promises, among others, and Bidzina responded with relatively vague answers. For instance, in response to when the 220 lari pension would come into effect, he said that the amount was not determined yet, but would come into effect in a year or maybe more. Then he added, at the very least, quote, "It will be real in the next few years," end quote. In response to questions about his promise to heavily bankroll agriculture, he said that those programs would begin immediately upon his taking office and he would put up some of his own money if state funds become insufficient. Similar questions were asked about promises regarding universal health insurance, allowances for IDPs, and lowering tariffs for household electricity and gas consumption. He has also restated that he will leave his position within 18 months and enter civil society.
I think that's a very unusual approach to, like, on the first day in office, or actually the day before you enter office, you say, "I will be gone in, 1.5 years from now." I mean, he has said it before, but, I mean, he ran in an election, and an election term is 4 years. Isn't it kind of a Palin move to, leave after 1.5 years?
Wow. Bidzina Ivanishvili and Sarah Palin. What a combination that is, doing their shuck and jive.
Why would you, even if that's your plan, why would you announce it on day one and not just say, "No, I'm going to stick around for the time being." And then if you think, you want to leave, then announce it as a kind of surprise movement. But,
well, I think it's because, there's worry in this neighborhood that, people get elected and they won't ever leave. I mean, there was a lot of worry that Misha would never leave. That proved to be wrong. But, or at least, so far. But I think it's sort of a way of calming people down and saying, "I'm just going to come in, I'll be a part of the transition," whatever else. I mean, Misha won on, his campaign slogan was "Georgia without Shevardnadze." Bidzina's was more or less "Georgia without Misha." And so, he's sort of trying to signal to people that you're not going to have to do that with me. Now, what's going to happen in a year and a half will be interesting to hear, because people are obviously going to dredge up that footage and is he going to stick around or not? And
right.
What does going into civil society mean? I mean, that guy just on interest can toss out, a million in the morning and a million in the afternoon on each working day, So,
right.
How what's he going to do in civil society?
Soros Foundation style?
I don't know. It's hard to imagine him showing up to the technical working group committee meetings, I don't know.
Yeah. But also, I mean, the whole budget expenditure thing, I mean, the budget numbers are public. And, there has been now a discussion. The UNM has said, there's so and so much money in the budget. The Georgian Dream says, no, it's all not true. But I mean, the basic budget documents are all available online. And I don't understand really why it is now such a surprise what the revenues and expenditures of the Georgian government are. I mean, these numbers are public. Maybe some don't add up. That's entirely possible. But now that all of a sudden, there's a completely different reality than during the campaign period, I'm not sure if that's really very credible.
Yeah. Well, that story is from Interpress News on the 24th. Finance Minister nominee Nodar Khaduri claimed that there are only 200 million, not 2 billion, in the Georgian treasury. Khaduri said that for the last 9 months, only 75% of revenues for the budget were received.
Which kind of makes sense, because in 12 months it would be 100%, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
are you a math major? I hadn't thought of it that way. Anyway, Vano Medavashvili denied the accusations, then prime minister. So, who knows? Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen with the budget. I mean, it'll be certainly interesting to do a comparison, and just as importantly as the budget, to see what sort of habits are changed, in terms of presidential fund and this and that, because the prime minister fund, he's got his own fund, frankly,
right.
Which is going to dwarf anything that'll ever come out of the government.
And there have been a bunch of other funds, like the Tbilisi Development Fund, which is now in the process of being dismantled or sized down, which all these funds that Tbilisi set up to do renovation of certain districts or development projects, and these funds have all been less less than transparent. They have not used public procurement. They have not responded to freedom of information requests. Nobody really knows what has been going on with these funds. And so I think the new government would be well advised to create some more transparency when it comes to big spending.
I hope so. Kommersant reported on October 22nd that in accordance with the law regarding conflict of interest, then energy minister nominee Kaja Kaladze said his Kala Capital will begin selling 45% of its shares on the hydro construction company Gruz Gidrostroy.
Yeah, and also they reported it after TI Georgia had highlighted this potential conflict of interest that Kaladze is facing.
That would be the hardest working NGO in Georgia. Yes, nice post there. We were the first out of that. Prime News Agency reported on the 23rd that Kaladze said that as soon as he is approved as energy minister, he will begin to work at reducing natural gas and gasoline prices.
And that also sounds like something where you might want to have sufficient transparency and not do it in backroom deals, because how are you going to get down the gas prices? The gas supplier in Tbilisi is owned by the Kazakh government, for example. Different gas stations.
I mean, the same thing with gasoline. I mean, there's been such rumors about how gasoline is dealt with. It's always seemed like a very opaque business, and you know what's taxed and what sort of informal payments are made, and you know, and shell companies and this and that.
Yeah.
GHN reports on October 22nd that the acting defense minister Dmitry Dimashashkin has fled Georgia. As we had reported on Tbilpod a couple of weeks ago, he published a statement on his Facebook page, quote, "I made the decision to leave Georgia, but with the hope of returning and having another opportunity to serve my country and my people. I do not regret any of my decisions taken during the last 4 years, and I'm ready to answer any questions," end quote.
Can I go briefly back to the gasoline prices? I saw recently there's an interesting blog published by ASET on their website, and they're discussing a report that TI wrote about, you know, indications for a cartel in the gasoline retail market. And I think there's an interesting discussion going on in the forum about how can you establish that, you know, how can you look at the pricing in this very complicated sector. So it's worth checking it out and like taking the discussion further.
Yeah, well, it's good to hear that ISED is encouraging discussion about that. Certainly a big issue. And let's hope that the gasoline tax increases astronomically to get some cars off the road, by the way. Internet.ge reports on October 22nd that several information agencies have sent around a statement by former Justice Minister Zuradeshvili, who has allegedly left Georgia, as we mentioned. Statement published on its official website, the government of Georgia says that this is not true. The then Justice Minister nominee, Teodosiu Lukiani, has said several times that Adeshvili is in Austria and reprimanded him for leaving.
I mean, you know, who would be mad at him spending his free time, well-earned vacation in Austria?
Exactly.
We have space for everybody. Lushkov, you know, whoever.
Lushkov, really?
Yeah.
He hangs around in Austria
and I think in London. But he has a nice chalet in Kitzbühel because so it's like a, you know, winter vacation home. And he has worked very hard for that.
Yeah, I'm sure he has. You know, putting up all those Zuratelli sculptures in Moscow. Mamias Sanadiradze, founder of the internet service provider Caucuses Online, says that he was coerced into selling 50% of the shares of his company in 2010 to GMC Group after his company was fined repeatedly. According to Sarkey News, he said that Caucuses Online had to pay more than 11.6 million lari in fines and was facing bankruptcy, so he had to sell. 80% of the shares are owned today by international online networks, an offshore entity of which the majority shares are owned by other shell companies. There was certainly, consolidation that went on in the internet service provider network, and I'm not really sure that it was to the customer's advantage.
No, and the same people also happened to hold minority shares in Beeline, the third largest cell phone provider, I think 49%, which you cannot track. Uh-huh. And they were also the people who were holding Rustavi 2 until a few weeks ago.
Well. What do you know?
Same group of well-trusted, successful businessmen.
Right. Once more, we get back to beneficial ownership. GAHN reported on October 18th that Ted Lukiani, now Justice Minister, described her investigative priorities. They are the Ghirvliani case as well as tortured inmates. Keep in mind that she was at the European Court of Human Rights for 10 years, was the person dealing with the Georgian cases and worked specifically on the Ghirvliani case and knows it well.
Which the government lost, and which is very well documented by the court. It's a very interesting read, actually, to read the whole court decision. It really gives you, it's like a journalistic investigation. It gives you the whole narrative of what happened.
Huh. Is that, that's on the court website?
Yeah.
Black Sea Press reported on October 23rd that the new parliamentary speaker, Datu Zupashvili, said that a commission to probe crimes under Misha will be set up. Prime News Agency reported on 23rd that then-nominated Interior Minister Irakli Kharabashvili has stated that his main goal will be the depoliticization and the transparency of the police. Interfax reported on October 18th that the then-defense Minister nominee Alassania promised that Georgia will continue to participate in the NATO-led mission in Afghanistan until the 2014 withdrawal.
Unless Romney comes in. Well, he also supports the 2014 deadline.
Unless Romney comes in.
I mean, like 3 days ago.
Yeah. And if Romney comes in, who knows? I mean, who knows what's going to happen? And for those Americans amongst our listeners, don't forget to vote and tell all your friends too. Democracy and Freedom Watch reported yesterday that the then-nominated prison minister, Sosar Subadi, said that as many as half of Georgia's 23,400 prisoners will be released.
And you discussed that last week, that could be, a difficult process to do that. And
Very
might be some retaliation happening after
people. I mean, they should, figure out, like, there's, that should be, that should happen. There are a lot of people in jail that should not be in jail. But there are people on the outside that are going to be nervous about that. They, that needs to be done within a carefully considered manner. Somebody also needs to think about the fact that there's probably been a fair amount of tuberculosis exposure in that group. And, the public health concerns should be considered. Rustavi Ode reported on October 22nd that a large group of Georgians involved in the arts and culture have published an open letter to the then-nominated culture minister, Gura Modishadia, recommending that he appoint Tamar Charkviani as one of his deputies. Her main claim to fame seems to be, aside from being a musician, that she is Jansung Charkviani's daughter.
Can you elaborate?
He's a sort of, I can't even remember, but like well-known figure in the intelligentsia,
not a Chevy politician.
Well, I don't know. I sort of like think of him. I can't remember whether he's Writers Union, but like I think of him with that whole that group of. I mean, I think the UNM had a tendency to sort of be quite dismissive about that group of artists,
Soviet trained,
whatever, like that. And I think of him as one of those people, but don't really know. So I don't want to make any false accusations. But I don't know who exactly signed the letter. But if it's deputy ministers by petition. And they all end up being the children of famous people, I don't know if that's such a wonderful thing. Prime News Agency reported on October 23rd that the lawmaker for the UNM accused the MPs from the Georgian Dream Coalition of pressuring and intimidating them. According to Interpress News, Georgi Gogoadze, the former owner of Liberty Bank, which used to be People's Bank, changed his mind and decided not to make a statement at the October 19th press conference regarding claims against the Bank of Georgia and the Georgian National Bank. First, he and other shareholders will negotiate with the two banks. In 2009, the shareholders, which included Gogoadze, Irina Jinjaradze, and Elena Kovalenko, sold the bank for 12.5 million lari.
I have a question to any listeners who might know this. Who is liable? So if somebody shows up and says, this is my company, but somebody, I was coerced into selling it, who would have to pay the compensation? I've heard that the government, to some extent, might be liable, especially if the entity has changed owners officially several times. So if anybody has any suggestions how that is handled in other countries, for example, Absolutely. That would be an interesting topic to hear more about.
Very interesting topic for the battalions of lawyers listening out there. Let us know on our forum. Ambebe.ge reports on October 23rd that the nominated regional development minister, David Narmania, and journalists were briefly locked out of Parliament's conference hall because the door wouldn't open when they attempted to force their way in. The door handle broke. There was much discussion about that little complication. TI Georgia published a blog with interesting data about how long it takes for different laws to be passed by Parliament and on the whole process. It's really an interesting post and how the variance, why the variance, and that sort of thing. Interpress News reported yesterday that Sotne Gamzahuria, son of the first president, was released from prison. He was arrested on October 27, 2009 for illegal possession of a weapon, attempted murder, and ties with Russian special services. Radio Tavisubleva reported on the 23rd of October that a citizens' initiative in Gori is petitioning the Sacrobulo to keep the monument of Stalin out of private collectors' hands. The monument, which was dismantled in June 2010, was supposed to be moved to the Stalin Museum, but was instead purportedly sold to a private collector for $17,000. The chairman of Gori Sacrobulo, Zviad Khmaladze, denies that the monument was sold and says that it's in the yard of a construction company. I remember hearing, I don't know if it's true or not, that Givi Targamadze during the war in 2008 went in to Gori, you know, under occupation by Russian soldiers and talked to some Russian colonel about, you know, whatever, and said, look, just do us a favor and pull down the statue. We'll give you $25,000 and just get rid of it so that we don't have to deal with it. But I don't know. He didn't do it. Interpress News reported yesterday that negotiations between employees and managers of the state-owned national railway operator Georgian Railway broke down so that the employees will stage a two-hour-long warning strike. The employees demand a pay increase, improvement in the labor in labor conditions, and protection of workers' rights. Bank of Georgia Research reported that the CEO of the company, Irakli Azugbaya, resigned on the 22nd. The CFO has taken over. Democracy and Freedom Watch reports that workers at Telasi, the electricity company, have been on strike for a week, demanding that 125 employees who were fired be rehired, that salaries be increased, and that the company's director, Zurab Arsoshvili, resign. Black Sea Press reported on the 24th that employees of Barjomi Plant No. 1 have gone on a hunger strike, demanding higher wages and new employment contracts. Poti Port, there was also... some strikes. I don't know whether that was what is it, Sealand or whoever is there. A lot of strikes going on.
Right. I think that's definitely tied to the elections, and that people feel probably that now there's more freedom to organize as a labor force and to protest and raise demands. Because before labor unions had severe problems in Georgia, and whenever the teachers, for example, wanted to build a strong union, there was a government interference and attempted government takeovers, or there were like friendly advices to people not to join a union because otherwise their job might be at risk. And what the problem is now, I believe, is that there's no organized union in most areas. And so it's difficult to have negotiations with them that are, behind closed doors. And you could negotiate a settlement, for example, with 6,000 miners. It might be very difficult to, have an orderly negotiation with them, even if you wanted to increase their salaries to some extent. It might be a new experience for Georgia. How do you deal with these demands from the labor force? And I'm sure most of these people really have been working in very bad conditions and with very low salaries.
Yeah, it's a problem. I mean, I think it's the UNM had a real terror of unions, and that all unions are bad, and that's gonna hurt job growth and employment and whatever else. And let's be real, there's some truth to that, but somehow it needs to be dealt with. The labor code, for all practical purposes, it gives no rights to workers at all. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how that ends. And But it'll also be interesting to see the quality of labor organizers that you know that show up and end up filling this breach. Now that presumably it's possible for them to do this without being treated heavy-handedly. I mean, it was not generally very friendly advice that was given to those who were trying to organize under the previous regime. A lot of chatter about English language and teach and learn, that supposedly there's a new law that has anybody actually seen this law about English language? There's supposedly some change in the legislation relating to the teaching of English language, which went a year or two ago from, English became compulsory and then in Russian not, and now supposedly it's was made recently a requirement to get a bachelor's degree that you speak English and have a pretty serious Cambridge proficiency in English, which lots and lots of people do not have. And I mean, it's, you know, okay, you pass a law and says, well, you have to do that, but how anybody's going to get there is another question.
Also having the test centers and all that requires quite some infrastructure to deal with that requirement.
At the same time, there's a lot of rumors that the teach and learn program is going to go by the wayside because it was such a late initiative. From what I heard, it was thought up personally by Misha. I am a fan. I mean, I think it's really, really great and been a very successful program. And I'm not just saying that because we have so many teach and learn listeners.
Right. And because you have a hotel where maybe some parents of the poor teach and learners might be staying.
I think that's a bit of a stretch, young man. You know,
but it would definitely hurt the hostel industry in Tbilisi.
Yeah, okay. I'm not connected to the hostel industry, and speaking of hostility, really, there's not, and those, TLGers that show up to Betsy's on Friday and eat the free food, they have like one beer between 11 of them the entire evening. I mean, come on. But no, they are a great bunch, and I think it's been a fantastic thing for Georgia, and I hope that'll continue. RIA Novosti reported on October 18th that Misha's plane was returning from a Congress of European People's Party.
European conservative white guys.
Exactly. Terrifying bunch, that must be. It made an emergency landing at the airport in Bucharest, Romania, because of mechanical problems. Shalva Ramashvili of Maestro has been highlighting a conflict of interest of Irakli Chikovani, the head of the GNCC.
The Georgian National Communications Commission. And that might become an issue that we will have to talk more about. There seems to be some ambition to have, some heads of independent or different government agencies replaced, some of which, have not always acted as they were expected to act and have not shown the necessary political independence. But in some other entities, there are very professional people who run these entities. So now that the government is in place and the parliament is in place, it will be interesting to see which of these agencies, we are talking State Audit Office, we are talking Georgian National Communications Commission, which regulates broadcasting and telecoms, Election Commission, Central Election Commission, and some other entities. It will be interesting to see, which of these will be impeached or not, or where there will be a political effort to replace the leadership of these agencies, and more importantly, who will be selected to replace them. The Georgian Dream, during the campaign, has highlighted that when they are in power and, can nominate heads of these agencies, they will do it based on consensus, that they wouldn't make decisions, all by themselves. They would include the opposition, presumably. So it will be interesting to see if the people nominated for key positions will be actually, based on a large consensus and will be seen as politically neutral or independent people or not.
Well, I mean, certainly the National Bank, they were talking about the former head of Kartu becoming the head of the National Bank, which, the current head of it, Kadagidze, is elected and has, I think he's got another couple of years or something to serve, and certainly can argue that he's done a reasonable job. I think there are a lot of people very, very nervous about the head of Kartu Bank taking that position with some of the things that he said about interest rate caps and a lot of other relatively wacky things. On the 30th of July 2010, at a NGO meeting, Dmitry Lord-Kipanidze said that he believes homosexuality should be criminalized again. He became an MP in 2008, elected off the National Council list. He's nominated for the post of Ombudsman in 2010 and has served as a Deputy Chairman of the Human Rights and Civil Integration Committee for 3 years in Parliament and is now one of the people that could possibly end up being the Ombudsman. I do have to say, to Otsneva's credit, that there has been a lot of discussion about who this is, and the NGOs, you know, are pulling for their candidate. It seems to be Tamar Guarciani, who is widely respected. You know, so they do seem to be listening somewhat to that. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Ivanishvili actually made some comments about that, well, we're sort of listening to, you know, to people about that.
Yeah,
so
especially with the Ombudsman, because that's really a person that needs to be completely independent from, right, from government.
Eric Rubin, the U.S. Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Europe and Eurasian Affairs, who is essentially the boss of the U.S. ambassador here, was touring the three Caucasus countries and was around met with all the big shots. Kavkaz Press reported on the 23rd of August that Georgia has begun official diplomatic relations with the world's newest country, the Republic of South Sudan.
Well, and, you know, you're missing another one, St. Vincent and the Grenadines. Uh-huh. Is that how you pronounce it? Grenadines, yeah. Grenadines?
The Grenadines, yes. St. Vincent and the Grenadines, somewhere in the Caribbean. Yeah. I mean, is this part of the don't recognize Abkhazia tour? Or
I would guess so.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I just want to know who the Georgian ambassador in Juba is going to...
It's going to be a fun position.
Yeah, exactly.
Fun posting.
Living in a shipping container. In it.
big spiders and bugs.
I've never been to Juba. It's a gap in my education. Interpress News report on October 23rd that the new parliament building's roof leaked during the previous night's rains. It was cleaned by 20 people and the roof was repaired by alpinists. You heard that right, alpinists.
Yeah, and who built it? It was our friend Irakli Cicovani from the GNCC, which we mentioned just a couple of minutes ago.
Irakli, or at least it was his company whose name was on the crane. We don't really know, but you know we can get.
Yeah, because there has been this abstinence of signs at construction sites in past
ever
months.
You know in anything, and so
yeah. No, when I came here 3 years ago, there was a sign everywhere.
Yeah.
And then earlier this year, it was just that this legal requirement was no longer enforced, it seemed. There's a requirement that every construction site has to have a sign that says who's building there, what permit number it is, what's the time frame of the construction, so that at least you get a sense of what's happening.
As in any civilized country. Democracy and Freedom Watch report on October 20th that Georgia's public broadcaster, who you may remember is headed by Irakli Cicovani.
It's Ghia Chanturia
and the commission, right? Exactly. Sorry about that. That has abolished its contract with the Russian language TV station Kanal Peak. And everybody's ticked off about that. There are a lot of very talented journalists. You may remember sometime back we had Rob Parsons on, who speaks great Georgian and is a famous Kartvelophile, and set the thing up, and then it was sort of, you know, taken over by the government, and now seems to not be around anymore, which is too bad because I think that was a good thing. Black Sea Press reports on October 24th that Kazbegi City Council from Sretem Tiyaneti region has removed tax preferences for gambling business.
Because there's actually a very nice hotel up there now. It's called Rooms, which is a funky name, but and it has a casino. So that seems to be the reason. So they want tourists from all over the place who end up in Kazbegi and stay there to gamble in the casino.
Right.
And also apparently Russian tourists from across the border who just want to, you know, have some fun.
But, so they ended tax preferences, or they created tax preferences. It seems to me they removed tax preferences.
So
I think the idea was they built a casino that was like some UNM connected people and got a tax break, and
now they don't
get a tax break anymore. So,
but the city the councils are still UNM dominated. I mean, all local government entities.
UN dominated, but with an idea of which way the wind is blowing, I'm guessing.
Right.
So, I mean, who knows how the original tax credit was arranged,
right,
anyway.
Right, right. And giving casinos a tax credit. Right. I mean, that's not really...
yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a license to print money anyway, please. You know, it's like, okay, so they got to squeeze the Russians a little harder, you know.
Yeah. Wait, you don't make money in a casino?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, a certain individual just had his first casino experience recently in the self-same casino, but okay, we won't go into that. All right. The finger of the week goes, of course, to Dmitry Lord Kipanidze, the homophobic, nationalistic dimwit. Really. You know, it's time for Georgian politicians not to be making, you know, stupid comments like that. The GeoCapital number, each podcast we feature GeoCapital number of the week, which is Georgia's best microfinance organization. Full disclosure, I'm a shareholder. There are no TLG parents that are shareholders of that business, so we know. And they give tobeopod.com an interesting number, which lets people know what's going on in Georgia. This week's number is 2.3, which is the pure alcohol content of wine drunk in Georgia, or of wine drunk in Georgia per capita in 2009, the latest year for which WHO data is available. This is a pretty low number compared to other countries that pride themselves on their wine, such as France with 7.1, Greece with 4.4, Italy with 5.0. With respect to total adult per capita consumption of alcohol, Georgia does not stand out either, with 6.4 liters of pure alcohol per capita per year, compared to heavy hitters such as Moldova with a whopping 18 liters
of pure alcohol
a year. Yikes. Czech Republic with 16 liters, Hungary with 16 liters, and Russia also with 16 liters. One might say that this is because of Georgia's wine being produced in homes, unrecorded by statistics. Not sure, but
same as with Chacha, you would assume.
Exactly. Yeah. But the measures of unofficial alcohol consumption, Georgia doesn't score that high either, unlike countries at the top of that list, Ukraine. So, drink up, Georgians. Special thanks to a Tobiopod listener who suggested we put more arts and culture in the podcast. We're always happy for recommendations. Following announcements are for you. If you want to send us emails with announcements about stuff, we'll put it in. I mean, unless it's really goofy, so just send it to us by, let's say, noon on Thursday. The fourth annual Tbilisi Wind Festival is coming up at the end of the month. The festival features two concerts at the Tbilisi Conservatory on the 30th of October and the 2nd of November. Both will be at 7 p.m. Tickets are from 4 to 10 lari. For information, search for Tbilisi Wind Festival on Facebook. First exhibition called Metal Art of the Discover New Painter Project was held on October 21st at the Art Palace on Kargatelli Street. The project aims to show works of talented lesser-known artists is open until October 28th. A unique exhibition of British fashion designers entitled Reconstruction, Cultural Heritage and the Making of Contemporary Fashion, opened at the Georgia National Museum in Tbilisi on October 20th, open till November 9th. Georgian-Russian film Love with Accent has been shown in Tbilisi cinemas since October 18th. The film was shot in Tbilisi, Batumi, and Tsikhnahi and consists of seven stories that are united by a common theme.
And apparently it's a Lithuanian-Georgian co-production. I don't know, and it's in like Georgian-Russian-Lithuanian, something like that.
I did not know that. Goethe Institute Georgia will be showing a German film, Black Box BRD, on November 1st at 6 p.m. at the Goethe Café, Zandukeli 16. Beda announced at his solo concert in Dynamo Stadium on October 20th that he is going to release his first album at the end of the year. That would be Bidzina Ivanishvili's son.
Who also has a TV station now.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great. On October 23rd, the old Kote Marjanashvili Theater premiered a performance of the same name, Kote Marjanashvili. The performance date was set to coincide with the 140th anniversary since the birth of Marjanashvili and the 85th anniversary from the theater's establishment. Guram Batiashvili wrote the play, and Levan Tsuladze is directing it. The play narrates the history of the theater. Kolga movies this week, Little Miss Sunshine, USA 2006 on Friday. That's tomorrow night, October 26th. It's fantastic. I highly encourage everybody to go see it. Monster, USA 2003 is Monday the 29th. Don't know anything about it. All movies start at 8 p.m. at Dom Kino by McDonald's and Rusta Valley Metro and are in English or have English subtitles.
If there's any interest, there's a very fun independent movie out in the U.S. called Sleepwalk With Me. It's produced by the people who make This American Life. And it's a comedy that's about a real-life story that's about a guy who sleepwalks and who does all kinds of crazy things while he sleepwalks. And they have been looking for cinemas all over the world who would show that movie. And I don't know if there's any interest out there. One could ask Holga to get this American independent movie here. So maybe if there's some strong interest to do that, why don't you post on the tbilpod.com forum? And if there's a few people who say, I would be interested in seeing that movie that you can't see through other means in Georgia, it's not on the internet for downloading or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
Just post there. I would be interested in seeing. I know a few other people. And if there's a good crowd, then we could.
Fantastic. That sounds like a great idea. This American Life, our podcast siblings, will always
the most popular podcast in the United States.
Yeah, a great podcast for anyone listening. I listen to that one and Planet Money for anyone looking. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is @txtbuk. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website. And we will finish with Malagueña. A bit of a change of style this time, but this one's going out for Pablo Picasso.